have the power to change perception.
Celebrating Black History Month.
To inspire and empower the true beauty and strength that's inside all of us.
KLAC KYSR HD2 Los Angeles. An iHeartRadio station. AM 570, an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peterson.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peterson.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
Okay, we continue. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet on AM570 LA Sports. Later this hour, we'll ask the question, do you care who the Dodger opening day starter is, and should it be Clayton Kershaw? Does he get that honor by default? You could argue yes. You could make the argument that no, Walker Buehler should get that start. But we'll talk about that coming up, Rodney. And now, let's bring on a friend of the show, one of the stars of The Odd Couple on Fox Sports. Well, he is the star, actually. Of The Odd Couple on Fox Sports.
He's the sane one.
Yeah, he's the guy that keeps it all together. Not our buddy, Rob Parker. It is Chris Broussard. You can hear The Odd Couple on Fox Sports Radio every night on the iHeartRadio app. You can listen to it 4 to 7 here in the West. And if you listen to us on the East Coast, they're on 7 to 10. And Chris, good afternoon to you.
What's up, gentlemen? It's always great to be on with you guys.
Cool.
Hey, Chris, before Fred jumps in, I got to ask you, because you work with Rob all the time, and I worked with Rob a couple times this week, and is he going through a little bit of withdrawals because he's not on that Golden Girls cruise this year?
Yeah, you know, I don't know what happened on that Golden Girls cruise, Rodney, but Rob was so excited to go on it. And then when he got back, he wouldn't tell us about it. He was like, don't ask me about it on the air. So I have no idea. It's like what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, I guess. But, Rob Parker is something else. The Golden Girls cruise, Antarctica, and Russia. That's his next trip is Russia. So he's got quite the travel itinerary, I can say that.
Yes, we could say it's eclectic. He has an eclectic travel itinerary.
Yes.
All right, so I said this, Chris. Tell me if I'm nuts. It's time to pick your poison. And here are the choices if you're a Laker fan. A, LeBron plays every minute he can. You go for every game. You push it to the limit, and you try to win as many as you can right now. B, somebody protects LeBron James from himself because he's not going to be able to continue at this pace, and we saw it against Washington. He just kind of ran out of gas at the end.
Right, right.
And let's just win what we can. Put him on a minutes restriction, do something, wait till AD gets back, and then make a push for the playoffs. Which one?
I would say B. We know what's made LeBron James who he is. You can say this about Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, any of the really all-time greats. What made them, enabled them to get to where they are is listening to themselves and not the naysayers, right? Who we all, I guess, would be the naysayer saying LeBron needs to rest. So I get his mentality. You know, people have always said, I couldn't do this or I couldn't do that, and I'm fine. And obviously he has a track record of proving people wrong and being an Iron Man, to be honest. So I get his mentality. But to your point, I think you may just have to protect him from himself. Because first of all, they're not even winning with him playing these extra minutes. Right? That's number one. Like, we're playing you these extended minutes and we're not winning. Washington, you know, we can go back. Obviously, they've lost four of their last five. So it's not even benefiting us in that regard. And then it's wearing you down and could wear you down come playoff time. LeBron probably will never feel like he can't, you know, play the minutes he used to play until he just can't anymore. And so I do think you got to protect him from himself. And I think home court advantage, obviously they're going to make the playoffs. And home court advantage is not going to be as important as usual. One, we don't know what the crowd situation will be like. Will there be 15,000 people? Will there be 5,000? Will there be 500? You know, we have no idea. So you can't gauge whether or not you're going to have a real home court advantage. Number two, if they play, say, the Clippers in the conference finals or meet them in the playoffs, you're in your home gym. And even if the Clippers have the home court advantage, whatever fans are able to attend, most of them will be Laker fans. And three, they're the best road team in the league. And they're actually better on the road than they are at home. So I don't think it's worth it to just try to get the best seed you can get at the expense of maybe a best player wearing himself down. So I would take B for sure.
Yeah, but you don't want to slip so far, do you, Chris, that you end up playing the Clippers or Utah in the first round?
No, and I don't think they're in real danger of that. I mean, obviously, you know, it's going to be tough to win the night, and then you've got, you know, a couple of tough games after that, Phoenix, Portland, you know, which are really good teams. So I hear what you're saying. But remember, once they get AD back, and you know, for Lakers fans, you're hoping that's not too far after the restart, they should be able to make up some of that ground. And then I think even with LeBron playing 36 minutes or so, you're going to win some of these games without AD as well. So I don't think they're in too much danger. They've got a game on Phoenix. But more importantly, to your point, they got 3.5 games on the fifth-seeded Spurs and fifth-seeded Blazers. So I don't think they're going to sink that far where they would fall out of the top four without AD.
You know, Chris Broussard with us, you mentioned the Suns. That makes me think Devin Booker. People are shocked he didn't make the All-Star game. Are you?
No, because I'm like, and I think it was a lot of faux, among the NBA players, there was a lot of faux anger, F-A-U-X anger, because name who shouldn't be on this. And I love Devin Booker. I feel bad for him because if he were in the East, he'd probably be not only an all-star this year, but he'd probably be a multiple-time all-star. I think Chris Paul has been the straw that stirred the drink in Phoenix. They're 20-10. If you go back a year ago when they had the same players minus Chris Paul, they were 11-20. And so I know Devin scores more, but Chris is the leading assist guy. He's the playmaker. He's a leader wherever he goes. And he brings good defense, and he's just kind of gotten that team settled and on the right path. So I think he's a legit all-star. You're obviously Donovan Mitchell can't be taken off the team because he's led Utah to the best record. And then Dame Lillard really should be starting. And so if you look to the front court, here's the challenge is the position. Like the front court, you got Anthony Davis, Zion Williamson, and Paul George. And if you could argue, I would not put him over Paul George, but just because George has missed, you know, 9 games or something like that, you could argue that you could take George off the team and put Devin on, or you could certainly argue Zion, although I like Zion being on the team, and AD's, you know, hurt. So the thing is, you need some front court players. But outside of those guys, it just aren't a lot of front court all-stars nowadays. So, look, Devin may get named because AD won't play. Hopefully he does. I think he's the next guy up. But some people will make an argument for DeMar DeRozan. San Antonio's the fifth seed. And DeMar's their top player. And he's not getting any, you know, not many people are talking about him. I hope it's Devin over, say, a Brandon Ingram. If they feel like, well, we got to put a forward in, because Anthony Davis is a forward. I hope it's Devin, but, you know, we'll see. But I just, of the guards that are on there, there's none I can take off and put Devin on.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Chris, I want to go back to the minutes restriction saving, and not just LeBron, but the whole minutes restriction thing, because we saw the other night Paul George on a minute restriction against Brooklyn is not in the game at the end. And I'm call me old school or whatever, but Chris, can you imagine Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, or Magic with the game on the line because they're on a minutes restriction, not walking right past Phil Jackson or Pat Riley? I'm checking back in because this is crunch time.
Right. Well, especially at this stage of their career, you know, where they were an established star. Yeah, no, I couldn't. And look, we know that's kind of the difference with Paul. I mean, he isn't that type of alpha that those guys you mentioned are. And so he just kind of took it. You know, obviously it's just a regular season game and, you know, it was a big game, but they can move past that. But yeah, I'm like you, Rodney. I'm not sure about all these minutes restrictions and the things that they do today. And what the teams will tell you is that, hey, we got the science. The science says, you know, a guy can't play 82 games and we need to sit him and he can't play more than 38 minutes or shouldn't and all that. And I counter that with this. I don't doubt that the science says that. But I bet you the science says that most people that have really high profile, highly productive, I guess, careers and jobs are overworked and don't sleep enough. My wife's a medical doctor. I mean, she's on call some weeks where she's sleeping a couple hours a night and she's dealing with life and death situations, you know, on 4 hours of sleep. I'm sure the science says she's overworked, or lawyers or people on Wall Street, especially those first few years. So I just think that you can go overboard with the science. The science may say these guys shouldn't play more than 50 games at 30 minutes a night, for all we know. You know, so I think that that's just a little bit overdone. And so would two more minutes really have killed Paul George?
Right.
That doesn't seem to make sense. So I'm with you on that. Obviously, they're going to move on, and you just hope nothing like that will happen, you know, later in the season.
Chris Broussard with us, Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete, AM570 LA Sports, touching on Paul George. Watching the Clippers this year, they really, Chris, are flying under the radar. And I think by some, and we talk an awful lot about the Lakers here because in LA, you know, that's what people focus on. But I think in some regards, you know, the Clippers are more than just somebody you need to worry about. The Clippers are pretty good, aren't they?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, everybody wants to just hand the West to the Lakers, and I get it. They obviously won the championship. LeBron is still arguably the best player in the world, and AD. You know, AD, I want to see him come back stronger. I think he's a deserved all-star. Some people are saying he doesn't even deserve that, which I think is crazy. But he hasn't played as well as I expected. So hopefully, if you're a Lakers fan, he's not only getting himself right physically, but mentally he's getting his game face back on for this push over the second half of the season. But as much as I think the Lakers are the best team in the West, I do think the Clippers are going to give them all they want. And I'm not trying to overlook Utah, but we just haven't seen them do it. But the Clippers, I think they've made the necessary attitude adjustment. You know, we know that, look, last year was so clear that they just thought they could step on the court and win the championship. They really did. And then I think they didn't want to be in the bubble. You know, I picked the Clippers, and I stuck with them going into the bubble. But I had talked to people that were, like, telling me about their attitudes and how most of them didn't want to even be in the bubble. This was before they went to Orlando. And I thought about not picking them because of that, but, you know, I stuck with them, and it was a mistake. So I think that they just weren't, you know, they weren't playing up to the top of their ability in that bubble. But Kawhi now playing back-to-backs, which is the first time since 2017. So that's a good sign. I think Serge Ibaka in the locker room and then on the court, he's obviously an upgrade over Montrezl Harrell, as good as Harrell was for them. I like that Ty Lue has put the ball in Paul George's hands a good amount. George is a nice playmaker. You know, he's averaging almost 6 assists a game, or about 6 assists a game. So I think that's added something to them. We see that they're the best three-point shooting team in the league. The one area that is a little concerning but just as baffling to me is why are they only middle of the road defensively? Like, they're 16th in the league in defensive ranking, and that just should not be the case. I mean, you've got two great wing defenders in Kawhi and Paul George. Patrick Beverley's defense at this point is overrated. He's riding on reputation, but still, he's okay in that regard. You know, you got Marcus Morris, Nick Batum, when he comes in, is a good defender. Like, they should be better than middle of the road. Now, maybe they're coasting a little bit. We see Kawhi doesn't often take the best offensive player, which you would expect he'll do in the playoffs. But that's the one. If I had to focus on one thing, if I was Ty Lue over the second half of the season, it would be trying to get their defense up into a top 10 or even higher level, because they really should be there.
Chris, I want to ask you about the team in the East that everybody's talking about, the Brooklyn Nets, who had started off slow. Guys weren't in the lineup, and KD's still not in the lineup, but they are a force. Are we going to see the first team win a title by this style of play and not playing defense because they can simply just outscore everybody?
Man, I do think it's possible. I mean, if they're healthy, I think the only way they don't get to the finals is if KD, they need KD, but I'd say probably if two of their stars are out, and then either that or an implosion. Like, if Kyrie gets unhappy not being the point guard, or whatever, if Kyrie just starts shooting too much and KD's not getting his necessary touches, you know, something like that. Because I don't see anybody in the East beating them. And in the West, you know, Brooklyn's got a great shot there as well. And defensively, look, there's two concerns. One was, how are these pieces going to fit together? And the fact that James Harden has made the sacrifice that he has, and, you know, playing the point guard, taking only about 15, 16 shots a game, and dropping his scoring 10 points, you know, from about 34 points a game to 24 points, that sacrifice, I think, has spread throughout the team, and it's enabled the three of them to fit together. And when they came together, I said, look, best case scenario is Harden at the point, Kyrie at the two, and then KD doing his thing in the front court. Because Harden, some people are surprised that he's such a great point guard. I think he's the best dual threat point guard in the league, like scoring and passing. And I'm not surprised, because if you look at Oklahoma City, I know that was ages ago, but he was the playmaker. When he would come in and play with Westbrook and Durant off the bench, he would have the ball in his hands, and he would be kind of like the point guard. And so I knew he had those skills. I just wasn't sure he'd be willing to give up those shots and all of that scoring that it made him an all-time great in Houston. The fact that he did, that solved the offense. Once he did that and Kyrie accepted, I'm going to be the two guard, that was it. Offensively, there are no issues. Now, defensively is where, obviously, there's the question mark. They don't have to be the bad boy Pistons. They don't have to be the Jordan Bulls defensively. They just have to be adequate. Yeah. And be capable in many cases of getting a stop when necessary. So I do think they're getting there. You know, the unselfishness on the offensive end, because Joe Harris, Bruce Brown, Jeff Green, all these other guys, they're touching the ball. They're getting open looks because Kyrie and Harden have been so unselfish. And so they're eager on the defensive end now. They're like, I'm getting rewarded on that end, and I'm hustling now. I'm trying to get into my guy defensively. And they've improved dramatically. They're still not a great defensive team, but they have jumped to about 21st in the league. And with their offensive firepower, that might be enough. And when KD gets back, they're going to be better defensively. So I think if they're adequate middle of the pack defensively, then they've got a great chance to win the championship, because they can get an open shot every single time down the court. Because those three guys can all draw double teams and even triple teams when they penetrate at any time. They're willing passers, and so they're going to get open looks whenever they want them. It's just a matter of, will they defend?
Yeah, and one other guy that I think is benefiting from all this, you talk about the other guys, you know, getting looks and getting touches because of the unselfishness. One guy I think is playing, you know, up this game again over the last couple of years, DeAndre Jordan. I mean, we saw that and with the against the Lakers and the Clippers of his rim protection too. That has been great for from, you know, we talk about them not being a great, they don't have to be a great defense, but they got to be adequate. But his game, it seems like he's got another bounce in the step again.
Yeah, I agree. I wonder if, and I've asked this, but I haven't gotten a definitive answer, but I wonder if, you know, they put Jeff Green in the starting lineup, then they started going small, and I wonder if that lit a fire under DeAndre. But also, he's getting a lot of these, you know, I mean, Harden or Kyrie will just toss up a lob. It's like Lob City again for him. And he's getting all these easy buckets. And then that team, you know, Kyrie and Durant and DeAndre are very close. And I'm sure they're bringing Harden into that fold because he was close with KD and he played with him over the summer. So I think that the closeness these guys have off the court too is, you know, got DeAndre, I think it's got him in his best mind state. And I think he's really focused on, man, we can win a ring. When I watch those guys run around on defense, it looks like they're thinking, we really can win this thing. And, you know, that, I think, can up their level of play. So, yeah, DeAndre, can he keep it up? I think he can. And if they, you know, look, they're going to try to go out, maybe when they get an Andre Drummond off a buyout or someone else, they're going to try to get another big body that'll help DeAndre get even more rest if he needs it. But if he is eager and active on that defensive end around the rim, that will take them to another level.
All right. Well, Chris, we thank you for coming on today. It's always a pleasure talking to you. And you can hear Chris and Rob every night on the iHeartRadio app, Fox Sports Radio, The Odd Couple. 4-7 here in the West. 7-10 for those of you that listen to us on the East Coast. They are there, and they'll entertain you. So, Chris, thanks for coming on.
Hey, guys. Anytime. I always enjoy it. Have a great show.
Outcast, friends, coming back at you. Rodney Pete, Fred Rogan. Good to have Freddie back. Good to have the laughs again, Freddie, with you. Yes, even though you tried your best to blow up the haiku.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did. You really tried.
I thought I would.
Even though you see, even when you say you're not going to do it, because in your mind you really don't want to do it.
Right.
Just deep down, you can't help yourself sometimes.
Well, I don't think I blew up the haiku today. I think I let it marinate. And was unfairly and unjustly accused of taking actions in which I didn't. I just want that on the record.
Okay.
All right. Let's bring out a buddy of yours now. And it's really an important topic he wants to talk about. NFL Hall of Famer, went to USC, Ronnie Lott. And Ronnie, thanks for jumping on.
No problem, man. This is awesome. I'm glad I had a chance to sit here and chat with you guys for a moment.
Yes, my brother. Listen, man, I can't believe it's 17 years you've been doing the Lott Impact Trophy. It's one of those ones where it's not just a popularity contest or the most highest profile person, man. It's really a meaningful award. Talk about the award and the recipient this year.
Yeah, the award is really centered around having the right characteristics, and we all know that in life, there are a lot of things that we want to do, a lot of things that we want to accomplish, and we just try to celebrate the guys who are trying to accomplish and live their life with purpose and with meaning. And so we've been very fortunate from day one. All of the guys have had some thoughts, some ideas of doing something meaningful. And what does that mean? That they've served the community, they've found a way to do something other than just play their sport. They've found a way to give back. And so we want to celebrate that because we think that that's a characteristic that we all should have, and it's all that it's a characteristic that we all need. And so that's that muscle that they work, not only on the football field, they work that same muscle of giving to their respective communities. So it's been phenomenal. It's been something that John Hamilton, who passed away recently, it was his kind of, you know, idea Mike Salmon, Trojan, who also was a part of it, said, hey, look, I want to do the same thing. And so you think about just those two and what they've done is really celebrate not just the winners of being guys who can play hard, but the winners of making sure that kids understand that, hey, do it the right way. Find a way to not only be tough and be great, but also find a way to make sure that you're looking around your community and seeing what else you can do to help others. So that's been phenomenal. And then, you know, being able to talk about it with guys like you, for me, this is extraordinary because, look, knowing both you guys like I know you, that's what you do. That's what you try to get out of your relationships. That's what you do when you're working with guys. You're trying to not only, you know, share, but you're also trying to find ways to make sure that the audience gets a chance to see that, hey, man, there's some other stuff that these guys do with their lives.
Ronnie Lott is with us, Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete on AM 570, LA Sports. And Patty Fisher, he won it, right?
Yeah, Patty Fisher won it. And Patty Fisher, to me, when you think about his speech and you think about what I saw and the way he played, hey, man, the guy is somebody that I want to be on my team. And the reason I want him to be on my team, he talks about everybody else. He's not talking about himself. He didn't do it at all at the award. When he received the award, he talked about his coaches. He talked about his teammates. He talked about everything else. And to me, you know, the thing that I love is that guys who are really good, they know that they're only as good as the people around them. And guys who win certain things, they try to find ways to make sure that others get a chance to be acknowledged. And the reason they try to do that is that they understand that those guys are so important to, you know, what they do. I mean, again, just knowing what I know about the two of you, you guys both probably at every morning you acknowledge each other to say, you know what, hey man, let's have a great show. Let's get each other, you know, our props. Let's make sure that we find a way to, you know, not only help each other, but let's make sure we help our audience. So all those kind of, you know, good stuff, that's what Patty has. That's what he's all about. And we're excited that he won the award and he's going to be a great football player in the National Football League. And he will go out and do some wonderful things in the communities that he's going to be involved with.
That's great. That's great, man. And I think the award is properly named because although it has, you know, your name on it, but the impact and what it stands for, it really embodies you. And, you know, I know Ronnie Lott, the person, and I know a lot of people know Ronnie Lott, the football player, the Hall of Famer and all those things, but I know Ronnie Lott, the person, man, and I am proud to call you my friend, because one thing I know about Ronnie, Fred, and I've known him, and from the first moment I met him, Ronnie is a true friend and is not shy about having the hard, tough conversations with you. And that's what you want in a true friend. And speaking along those lines, Ronnie, as we, you know, we go through as players and then you retire and then you go about your life, but the things that impact you from a young age start to rear their head as the older you get. And I'm so proud that I, you know, that I know you, because you have done many things off the field to help so many other people. And one of the things you're doing, you know, continue to do now, and we've talked about this in the past, is the health, not only of our peers and former players and our friends, but also not the physical health, but the mental health. And that's an initiative that you have fully got behind. I just want you to share a little bit about that and how, you know, mental health is such a big part of life and such a serious issue, not just with older people, but with younger people too.
Yeah, and the reason that it's an issue with younger people is that imagine as we saw this year. And imagine what and Patty, you know, Fisher touched on it. You know, imagine playing in the environment that they played in, and watching the NBA and watching what they did playing without fans and watching all of these circumstances that are, you know, totally different, and having the mental capacity to be able to survive and to be able to work with people and to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to protect you, you protect me, and to be able to have that kind of trust. And what I love about Charles Haley is that Charles Haley, when he first came from James Madison, and he came from there, and I saw this young man, I remember sitting there going, man, we got this kid from James Madison. But what I didn't understand was, man, this dude had some, he had a motor. You know, he had a motor, and he had a motor that was going to destroy people and destroy anything that got in his way. And what became, you know, very valuable is that we saw that right away. What became the thing that was somewhat challenging was that he also was bipolar. And he would tell you and talk to you sometimes where you would see that, you know, Dr. Jekyll, you know, and Mr. Hyde. And you would see those personalities, and you would sit there and you'd go, wait a minute. And then, you know, like a lot of things in life, in his case, he started to address it. And the reason he started to address it is that he found himself realizing that, man, it was destroying not only himself, but it was destroying his family. It was destroying his relationships. And the hard part in life is to actually say, I got a problem. I'm going to do something. And I remember one time we played the 49ers, and I had just left, and I was with the Raiders, and we beat them. And, man, after the game, he was so angry, and he was angry at a lot of people, angry at the quarterback, angry at the defense, angry that they lost the game. He hits this window at the Coliseum, and the window had wire, and he cut his hand, and so they come over to the Raiders locker room. Hey, Ronnie, go! Can you help? So I run in there, and I remember looking at him, and I remember knowing right at the moment what it felt like to lose, and what it felt like, and what I do know in his life is that's the one thing that he didn't want to do. And that's the one thing that was so challenging. And one of the things that's so hard is to be able to understand at that moment how to have compassion, how to have empathy, how to sit there and to understand what. And we all, I've been there, I've done something, and I've been there where someone like some kid named Marcus Allen would say, hey, dude, come on, we got it. Yeah. And my point is that we all have had these moments. Every great athlete has had a moment where he's had to deal with defeat, and he's had to deal with issues with that defeat and understanding how to overcome it and how to get back up. And here we are right now, as we all know, my prayers go out to this young man, you know, Tiger, and my prayers go out to him because we all know that he's going to need every prayer from everyone to overcome, you know, this situation, this moment. And for me, right away, I can feel his pain. I don't know his pain, but I can feel his pain because we've all been there where we've been hurt, and we know what he's going to have to go through to get back. So that strength, Rodney, you know this because you've had that strength of saying, I got to get back up. I got to find a way. I got to make it happen, and I got to do it. And we talk to ourselves. Sometimes we cry to ourselves. Sometimes we don't even understand what went wrong and why it all goes wrong. And my point to you is that mental health, man, is that's a muscle, and that's an area where we're constantly trying to figure it out, man, constantly. And I know for myself with Charles, we think it's important. We know that it's important, and we know that there are young people out there right now hopefully listening to this and saying, you know what, maybe I should get some help. Maybe I should think about trying to find a way to deal with this issue of me not feeling like I feel because I can't play like I did a year ago. And I need to get, you know, my mind right. I just need to get my mind right. So that's what we're trying to, you know, get done with this initiative.
And Ronnie, how, And I appreciate you sharing that story, and there are many stories like that. And when you talk about Charles being, you know, bipolar, I know Charles. I had a chance to play with him when I was my 1 year in Dallas as well. And yes, and when you sit down one on one, he's the nicest, sweetest guy you ever meet. And but he does have that switch sometimes, like all of us do. And the stigma, Ronnie, of getting help, getting therapy, that's still there with a lot of men, especially. How do we and for you and Charles to discuss it in a forum and have this initiative, it's so important because it's still that stigma out there, isn't it, that guys don't want to go to therapy. They don't want to seek help.
Yeah, and the reason that stigma is there is because there are a lot of reasons why people are not wanting to take the shot or the virus right now. And there are a lot of reasons why people believe that that might not be the right thing for them. But trust me, it is the right thing to do. And the reason it's the right thing to do is that we know that it's going to help all of us. It's going to help not only the person that's getting the shot, but my point is that to get over the barrier, sometimes you need somebody to get you over the barrier. Look, you think trying to hit Earl Campbell is mentally tough? Oh, it'll buckle you.
Yeah,
it'll buckle you, and then to possibly get run over, and it will buckle you. My point is that we're gonna have moments of failure and moments of weakness and moments of things. And by the way, when you leave the game and you don't have those type of relationships and you don't have people around you and you're just isolated, that's even more important. Every Navy SEAL that I know, some of the greatest, I remember one Navy SEAL walked up to me and said, "Hey man, do you think I can make it?" I said, "What do you," he goes, "Man, I don't know if I can make it." I said, what do you mean, make what? He goes, "Live in society and be comfortable in society." I'm like, "Wait a minute, you're one of our elite people." He goes, "But you don't understand, man. They don't understand me, and I don't understand them." And my point is that's due to the fact that sometimes when we walk into a neighborhood, we might not know that neighborhood. And that's what he's trying to say. I don't necessarily know the neighborhood, but I need some people to help me understand that neighborhood. I need people to help me understand how to deal with people and how to work with people. And that's why a lot of professional athletes, when they're done, man, it's important to go have somebody help you think through what you want to be next and how you should be prepared for it, and how to learn how to be a rookie again. So you're so excited and you get enthusiastic and you get passionate right now. You know, Rodney, you know this. And man, we're trying to do some things maybe to help some guys at SC.
Yeah.
But we have to be rookies because there are a lot of things we don't even know what we're trying to do, but we want to try to help them because we're rookies and we want to be enthusiastic and passionate and hopefully help them so they can get better in life.
Well, man, I appreciate that. That is very passionate, and like you said, we are trying to do some things, and it is imperative that we try to help our brothers, because there's sometimes we don't a lot of us don't want to ask for help, and sometimes we got to just be there for them, man. So I appreciate everything that you're doing. What are you doing with Charles? I know what Woody speaks of you, and not only Charles, but everybody.
I got to jump in for 1 second, because I remember sitting, and you just touched on something. I remember sitting walking around the Coliseum with Junior.
Yeah.
3 days before he passed, man, and I didn't ask the question. I didn't ask the question. I didn't ask the question. I didn't. And to this day, I still ponder, man. Why didn't I? You know, what didn't I see? What didn't I see that could have possibly, you know, helped him at that moment? And we don't. You know, I don't know, but I also know that what. It could have been something, and so I live with that, but I also need to tell people that, because if I don't tell people that, then I'm not helping people. I'm not doing my job. I'm not helping our society. I'm not making our world better for people to understand that, hey man, yeah, Charles needs some help. Junior needs some help. And by the way, both of them on different tracks, but you know, we gotta let's just keep saving, let's keep helping, let's keep finding ways to make it happen. So I had to just jump in on that one moment.
No, I appreciate it. I appreciate it, man. And whenever you want to come back on, you got something to say, you always got a place, man. And you know, I know you and I love you, and I appreciate you jumping on with Fred and I today, because in these times we need it. So thanks again, man.
Thank you guys, man. Thanks, Fred. Thanks, Rodney. I really appreciate it, man. You guys take care and God bless, man.